Welcome back, everyone, to The Deep Dive. Ready for another fascinating deep dive today?
Always.
Today, we're going to be talking about something that, it might sound a little weird at first.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about using wastewater
Interesting.
To track drug use.
Wastewater, like sewage.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So we're going to be looking at a year's worth of data from 8 different wastewater treatment plants all over southern Nevada. So think the Las Vegas area.
Okay.
And what they were able to find is actually pretty incredible. So it's not just about like, oh, gross, what's in the water.
Right.
It's about what that tells us about community health trends.
Okay, so what kind of things can we learn from this wastewater data?
So, for example, they found this huge spike in fentanyl use starting in October 2022.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, you might think, well, how is that even possible to find in wastewater?
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
Well, it turns out that wastewater acts like a mirror reflecting back the substances a community uses.
Ah, I see. So by analyzing what's in the wastewater, we can get a sense of what drugs people are using.
Exactly. And it's not just drugs, it's medications, too.
So it's like a snapshot of a community's overall health.
Yeah. And what's even more interesting is that this spike in fentanyl use that they found lined up perfectly with the public health advisory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the Southern Nevada Health District, they were seeing this surge in fentanyl-related deaths and overdoses right around the same time.
So the wastewater data was like an early warning system.
Exactly.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing to think that we can glean so much from, well, what we flush down the toilet.
I know, right. It's not what you typically think of as a valuable data source.
But wait a minute. Las Vegas is a tourist hotspot. How did the researchers make sure they were tracking what the locals were using and not, you know, what tourists might be bringing with them?
That's a great question. And they actually found a pretty clever solution.
Oh.
They used sucralose.
Sucralose, as in the artificial sweetener.
Exactly. You find it in diet drinks and all sorts of things.
Okay. But how does that help with the tourist problem?
Well, tourists definitely contribute to the wastewater, right?
I guess so, yeah.
But they don't contribute to the resident population numbers. So by using sucralose levels as a baseline, the researchers were able to isolate and focus on the drug use patterns of the people actually living in Las Vegas.
Wow, that's really smart. So they're basically using sucralose as a marker for the local population.
Precisely.
That's brilliant. So what did they find about those local trends? Did the data reveal anything surprising?
Absolutely. They compared the 2022 data to a similar study done back in 2010 and saw some pretty significant changes.
Like what?
Well, in general, drug concentrations have increased across the board.
Across the board? Like for all drugs?
Well, especially for methamphetamine and heroin. Those showed the most dramatic increases.
That's a worrying trend for sure. But were there any decreases? It wasn't all bad news, was it?
Actually, there was one interesting decrease. Meprobamate, which is an anti-anxiety medication, showed a significant drop.
Huh.
And that likely reflects its declining use in recent years as newer medications have become more popular.
So the wastewater data isn't just showing us what drugs people are using. It's also giving us a glimpse into how medical practices and prescribing habits change over time.
Exactly. It's like a window into the evolution of healthcare in a community.
That's pretty amazing. And it gets even more interesting when you look at the data geographically.
Oh, yeah. So the Las Vegas area is divided into 8 different sewersheds.
Okay.
And each one showed unique patterns of drug use.
Really? So different neighborhoods had different drug profiles.
Yeah. For example, one sewershed had notably high levels of heroin and fentanyl, while another had higher concentrations of prescription opioids.
So we're not just seeing overall trends for the entire city. We're getting this granular view of what's happening in different communities.
Precisely. And that level of detail could be incredibly useful for targeted public health interventions.
Yeah, imagine being able to pinpoint areas with rising heroin use and then direct resources and support to those specific communities.
Exactly. It's like a heat map of potential health crises,
right,
allowing us to proactively address issues before they escalate. It's incredible to think about the possibilities.
Okay, so we've talked about the fentanyl spike, the clever use of sucralose, and the geographic breakdown of the data. But what about the ethical implications?
Right.
Are there any concerns about using this kind of information, especially when it comes to illicit drug use?
Of course, with any powerful tool, there are ethical considerations.
Yeah.
It's important to think about privacy concerns and the potential for misuse of this data. But on the other hand, the potential benefits for public health are immense. It's about striking a balance.
Yeah, finding that balance is crucial. We need to ensure that this incredible technology is used responsibly and ethically to improve public health without infringing on individual rights.
Absolutely. It's a conversation we definitely need to have as this technology continues to evolve.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll dive deeper into the methodology behind this fascinating research and explore some of those ethical considerations in more detail. Stay with us. So, how do they actually collect and analyze all of this wastewater? Like, I'm picturing people out there with
Well,
buckets.
it's a little more sophisticated than that. They collected samples every 2 weeks for an entire year from eight different locations.
Okay, and those are all in Southern Nevada, right?
Yeah, covered the Las Vegas area. And they made sure to get samples from the influent.
So that's the water coming into the treatment plant.
Yeah, before it's treated. So it gives you the most unfiltered picture of what's being used or well excreted by the community.
Right. Makes sense. So once they have these samples, how do they actually identify and measure the specific drugs? Like, are we talking high-tech lab equipment or?
Oh, yeah, definitely not something you could do at home. They use some very sensitive techniques to detect even tiny amounts of these substances.
Wow. And they weren't just looking for the drugs themselves, but also metabolites, right?
Exactly. So those are the byproducts that your body creates when it breaks down a drug. And it's really important to look for those because some drugs are metabolized very quickly.
Right, so if they were only looking for the original drug, they might miss it.
Exactly. And the study actually mentioned that there were some challenges in interpreting the data, particularly for substances that break down really quickly in the wastewater.
How did they deal with that?
So they did these things called hold time studies, essentially testing how stable different drugs and metabolites were in wastewater over different periods of time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So some substances like opioids, they're pretty stable, but others like cocaine or THC, they degrade a lot faster.
So some drugs are like tough and hang around for a while, and others are like fragile and disappear quickly.
Yeah. And that difference in stability definitely makes it harder to get an accurate estimate of consumption for those fast-degrading substances.
And they did this simulated sewer transport study too, right?
Yes. So for that one, they basically recreated the conditions of wastewater flowing through the sewer pipes in a lab setting.
Oh, wow. So they built like a mini sewer system.
Pretty much. And it allowed them to see how that travel time from, the source to the treatment plant might affect the concentrations of the different drugs.
So it's not just what people are using, but also how far it has to travel to the treatment plant.
Exactly, which adds another layer of complexity to the whole analysis. But it also just shows how thorough they were in trying to make sure the data is accurate.
So we've talked a lot about like the fentanyl spike and the sucralose trick and how the data breaks down geographically, but what are some other ways that this kind of wastewater data could be used for public health?
Oh, the possibilities are pretty amazing. Imagine being able to detect like a sudden increase in antibiotic-resistant bacteria in a specific community.
That would be huge. Or what about identifying some brand new contaminant in the water supply before it becomes a widespread problem?
Yeah. Wastewater-based epidemiology could completely change how we monitor and respond to all kinds of public health threats.
Like having a real-time checkup for the entire city.
It is. And it's not just about reacting to things that are already happening. We can also use this data proactively.
Oh, how so?
Well, we could use it to design public health campaigns that are more targeted and effective, or to, allocate resources to the communities that need the most. It's about preventing problems before they even start.
That's a really powerful idea, shifting from being reactive to preventative.
Right. Because, once a public health crisis is in full swing, it's much harder to contain.
It's like they always say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But, we keep coming back to this, but there are those ethical considerations too.
Of course, and those are really important to think about.
Like we said before, it's a powerful tool and we need to make sure it's used responsibly.
Exactly. We'll definitely need to discuss those in more detail, but first,
The study also mentioned something about validating other types of data. Can you explain that a bit more?
oh yeah, sure. So they looked at marijuana sales revenue as an example. And by using the wastewater data to estimate THC consumption, they were able to come up with a number that was pretty close to the actual reported sales figures. So it's kind of like a real-world accuracy check.
Oh, that's really interesting. So it's not just a standalone tool, but something that can actually strengthen and support other data sources.
Exactly. It really highlights how reliable and how useful wastewater-based epidemiology can be.
This has been such a fascinating look into wastewater epidemiology. I'm amazed at how much information we can get from something we usually just flush away.
I know, right? It really makes you think twice about what you're sending down the drain.
But it sounds like it has the potential to really change how we approach public health entirely.
I think so, too. It's definitely a field to watch.